over 90% of the world's amputees don't have access to prosthetic care. This is because existing solutions are either too expensive, because actually the main manufacturers in the world focus on high-income countries where they can increase their margins, insurances pay, and make a lot of money. Or you have a lot of like low-quality solutions that are affordable, but ultimately they break after 6 months.
Welcome to the Swisspreneur Show, a podcast about startup stories and learnings from experienced entrepreneurs. If you enjoy listening to our show, make sure to follow the podcast and leave a rating. And now, here's your host, Sylvain.
Nicole, a warm welcome to the Swisspreneur podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here as a guest today.
Thank you. Very excited and happy to be here. Thanks for welcoming me.
You're the co-founder of CircLeg, a social enterprise that enables accessible, high-quality, and empowering solutions for amputees. What originally motivated you to start your own company?
Well, so maybe I'm going to set up a bit the context here. So I am one of five co-founders of CircLeg. So yeah, we are many. And we have a lot of things in common, including mainly the reason that drove us to fund CircLeg. I guess it's very cliche in a sense, but we are very impact-driven in the sense, we are two engineers, two industrial designers, and I have more the background of international economics and finance. But yeah, we were really united by the desire to do something for the greater good with our skills and the knowledge that we acquired. And at the same time, I think in our past experiences, we all felt like we didn't fully kind of fit in with the existing systems that was around. So we thought, okay, what can we do to together find very concrete solutions to a very concrete problem? And then, we happened to focus around the issue of accessible prosthetic care and around the issue of there are not enough high quality but affordable prosthetics in the world. And so we decided to join forces and tackle this one step at a time. So it was really that very cliche, impact-driven millennials.
But that's a perfect motivation to start the company that you five started all together. Another important fact is, of course, the timing. Why was the timing right to be working on this problem in this very moment?
So I would say the timing has been right for a while. I mean, the prosthetic field and in general, the field of disability is a massively neglected field, especially in low and middle income countries, which is where we focus on. I mean, we think like over 90% of the world's amputees don't have access to prosthetic care. This is because existing solutions are either too expensive, because actually the main manufacturers in the world focus on high income countries where they can increase their margins, insurances pay, and make a lot of money. Or you have a lot of low quality solutions that are affordable, but ultimately they break after 6 months, so leaving users from the beginning, right? So I'd say the moment has been right for quite a long time because it has been a historically neglected sector. But at the same time, there is a lot of interesting movement happening right now. For example, the World Health Organization is now kind of forcing a lot of governments around the world to no longer neglect the rehabilitation area. So we are finding that there's a lot of opportunities for us on our side because many governments are now forced to increase funding for companies working in the rehabilitation field, give assistive devices a lot more attention. We see that there's also a lot of more impact funds that are starting to focus more on the area. So from an impact perspective, the time has been right for a very long time. From an entrepreneurship perspective, because there's an added funding and added attention now being put into the sector, we feel like it's especially favorable for us to grow at this very moment and have an impact at this very moment.
Fantastic. And I assume based on what you just described, you're also a bit in a balance act between having a social enterprise, of course, a very noble cause why you exist, but at the same time, you are an enterprise, so you also need to make some sort of money eventually. And on the other hand, you don't want to go for this low quality product that you sell to people based on your target market. So how do you balance these two by you know, having the social cause and need to make money, but also not going the way of being too cheap of a product. How do you balance this out and strive probably for the perfect middle ground?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, going back to your first question about why did you decide to start an enterprise in the first place and this type of enterprise, this was actually one also of our founding motivation. So we wanted to prove that you can be a successful growing social enterprise and a successful startup to begin with, you know, taking away the social while at the same time having a positive impact on society. So this is also a big driver of us. And we also think from an impact perspective, it's actually very important that also in order for us to scale our impact, that we generate enough revenue, that we are financially self-sustainable, that we grow, because the more we grow, the more beneficiaries we can help, the larger our impact, right? So we also want to prove that these two things can go hand in hand and can actually support each other. Well, usually it's like, okay, you either want to focus on impact or you want to focus on profitability. And for us, no, we want to focus on both, because to us, they both support each other and they're each necessary for each other, right? So it's definitely an act of balance, and it also depends on the different phases that a company is in. For us especially, I mean, we were born initially in 2018, and up until now, we were mostly financed through different types of grant funding, which actually allowed us to focus for the past years on the research and development, on creating a product designed specifically for low and middle income countries, and to focus on making it as accessible as possible, while keeping the quality as high as possible. How we measure quality as high as possible is our product is certified according to the European Union Medical Device Regulation, which is pretty much the gold standard in the field of prosthetics. And this may sound like an easy feat, but for context, like the great majority of prosthetics that are sold all around the world, they're not certified and they wouldn't be able to be certified. They just wouldn't be able to meet the standards. So for us, we wanted to change the discourse and we say, no, we want to provide a product that you can provide to, you know, a Swiss amputee, as well as an amputee, you know, in, for example, Kenya was our starting market in Kenya. So the grant funding allowed us to give us enough time to focus on that. And we are now actually transitioning into blended financing, onboarding our first impact investors, which we feel like it's a good time because we just started selling and we want to scale up. So we feel like it's a good time for us to change gears and change the way that we're structured, change the way that we are set up. So for us, like finding this balance between profitability and impact, I guess it's an everyday feat, but the sources of funding that we got, we feel like also allowed us to maintain this balance and to find this balance and to create a really good setup that prepares us for being a successful social enterprise. Had we been forced to onboard investors maybe at the start of our venture, like we've seen that some companies in our similar situation have, maybe we would not be where we are right now. Maybe we would have had to pivot more to say, okay, less impact, let's focus on the low-hanging fruits of where the money is and, you know, impact great, but put it as a secondary thing. We've seen this happen to similar startups in the assistive device field, and we've been lucky to be able to keep our way, you know, keep stand our ground and also find the right partners with, because we were lucky to find great funders and great stakeholders that supported us in not having to sacrifice impact for the sake of profitability and actually increasing the profitability because of the impact side. But this takes time.
Absolutely.
And we were lucky to have the time.
Yeah, you play the long-term game, and I love what you said. It's really this profitable impact, what you're aiming for. And to make this bold vision a reality, you of course also need a strong team. You mentioned the five co-founders in total that started CircLeg. And I wonder what different experiences and skill sets do all of you bring to the table to make this a reality?
So we are a very united team and we're very different. Very, very different, but we really complement each other in a beautiful way. There's two industrial designers from ZDK. Actually, the initial concept of CircLeg was their bachelor thesis. So it was their bachelor thesis project from the Faculty of Industrial Design. They came up with the initial concept of, okay, it would be great to develop a high quality but accessible prosthetic, lower limb prosthetic, because the existing ones are just too expensive or not good enough. And then let's say that they bring in, of course, the design skills, but we always say that actually one of the two designers is an engineer at heart, because the two industrial designers are extremely different and very complementary in their own way. And then we have two mechanical engineers from ETH that, of course, then like joined the team and could then transform the initial design concept into an actual medical device. Of course, with the support of, we partnered with ETH, with Zetica, with all sorts of engineering companies that supported us in the R&D process. And at the same time, same thing, like the two engineers, one is a very kind of, creative and innovative, and the other is like a process and engineering machine. They work really well together. And then I guess I bring in then the whole putting it all together, the business background, and the finance. I used to work myself in private equity in the past, impact investing and impact management. So we feel like we are all very unique in our way, and we support each other. We often say, it's funny because often like one loves to do what the other hates doing and vice versa. So it works really well in that way. But we do feel like we have quite a strong base, because we do put together already in the founding team. And I'm not talking about the amazing other team members that we have on board. Quite a strong and ample skill set within us.
That sounds like the real dream team that you assembled right there. And you also mentioned one important milestone that you recently achieved. You started selling your product. What are some of the other milestones that you can share a bit more about to highlight where your company stands today?
So, well, our journey has been long. One of the first milestones that we're very proud of is that we won the Cybathlon competition. So the Cybathlon is a competition organized by ETH, where different providers of assistive technologies compete, and you have to perform different challenges or so. And when we competed, we were the only provider of a purely mechanical, affordable system. Everyone else was, they were like research departments from all around the world, coming up with high-tech robotic solutions, huge budgets or so, and we won. So that for us was an amazing proof of concept, proving, with a smartly designed and very well-designed mechanical affordable system, you can actually outperform high-tech, way more expensive, way more complex solutions. So that for us was a very important milestone that we're very proud of, because it was also signed. It was a couple of years ago. We felt like, okay, we're doing the right thing. We're on it. We can do this. And then we took it from there. We decided, okay, let's now focus on the durability and on the certification. The certification was definitely a huge milestone for us, because it took years to make sure. So you need to go through this test to certify the durability or so. So to obtain that, we obtained that at the end of last year. That was a huge milestone, years and years of work that went into that. We've gotten us, of course, this external recognition in the form of, we won the Swiss Design Prize, we won the SDG Prize and so on. But of course, those were great, but we felt like, things such as the Cybathlon and the certification were direct product of a lot of work on our side. Also the establishment of our hub in Kenya. We have a subsidiary in Kenya, in Nairobi specifically, with 6 great team members. That was also a big milestone for us to go, from initially, it was a small team here in Switzerland. Now we're in total 16. We're split between 2 countries. We just started selling. Like, this was definitely a big achievement for us, and also finding the right people and seeing these people grow and develop and embrace the Circlic value and believe in what we do and in our work and take it onto themselves to also scale our impact in the region. That's been a big accomplishment. Now having the first around 60 amputees, very happy walking around East Africa, super satisfied with the product and services that we provide. It's a really big accomplishment. And I mean, I guess also successful fundraising. We've fundraised over 4.5 million until now, which allowed us to do everything we've been able to do until now. And that's also been a pretty sweet achievement, let's put it that way. So yeah, I would say these are among the main ones, but we also try to celebrate all sorts of wins on a daily basis.
Of course. I feel like you could go on and on. There are so yes. many checkboxes that you already ticked with the certification, with the first sales, et cetera, et cetera. Super impressive. However, where you have celebrations, where you have milestones that you achieve, usually, at least along the journey, there are also challenges. If you had to pick one, what was the toughest challenge that you had to overcome with your team so far?
I guess the entrepreneurship journey is always full of ups and downs. But I would say to manage the growth of the team across continents without circling getting lost in the process was definitely a challenge. Also to manage the transition, you know, between also from an operational and process point of view, between us all working in the same room, you know, and always being involved in everything and aware of everything that's going on, into, you know, the classic sort of thing. You have to learn how to delegate. You have to learn how to track all of your processes in a very professional way. You have to learn how to spread the culture that is really easy to spread when you're like seven people working in the same room, spending sometimes like 24 hours a day together, versus how do we ensure that, you know, we can share this mission, this message, these values, this way of working to people working, thousands and thousands of kilometers away. So that was definitely, challenging. We also did it by spending a lot of time, professionalizing all of our process, but also going to East Africa and building the team there in our presence, you know, because it was hard to just do that from afar, to just hire six people in a couple of months and say, okay, yes, now implement the circular system there. That was not possible, clearly. So we had to go there and also learn how can we, how can we share the culture and also adapt it to the local context? How can we, you know, learn? It really had to be like a two-way learning process, right? Because culture is not just something that you hand in and it's like, there you go. This is what we do. This is how we do it. This is who we are. It was really about then reshaping what Circleg is and what we all together want Circleg to be together with all of the new team members. And of course, one thing was for, you know, to share it with the Kenyan team, but also as the team grew here in Switzerland, the same process had to happen over and over again. And now we got the hang of it, but it was definitely challenging at the start.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It already sounds challenging hearing you speaking about it. That's already, you know, the start, basically. You're also fundraising at the moment. You mentioned you already were able to convince some investors. You already accepted some grants that, along the way, to actually get to where you are today. But at the moment, you're also fundraising. One ticket is open through the Swisspreneur Syndicate. That's also one of the reasons why we talk here together today. Can you talk a bit more about how much money you are raising in total and what these funds will be used for?
So currently we're fundraising 1.5 million. It's our first seed round. We already have a few angel investors interested and are in the middle of negotiations. So basically, the funding will be used for us to expand our presence across the African continent. First step is going to be to produce the next batch of circular prosthetics. We produced the first batch of the first series at the end of last year, which is now being sold and distributed mostly across East Africa, with initial focus on Kenya, Uganda, and Rwanda. So now the funding will be used to produce a much larger second batch and to intensify our operations first across East Africa, but we also have a lot of very concrete opportunities in West, Southern, Northern. We've also gotten requests actually from European customers, Eastern Europe. There's actually also Swiss entities that have been following and supporting us that would like to be able to access the product. So it's really about allowing us to scale the sales, to be able to meet the incoming sale requests that we're already receiving. And at the same time, of course, we want to continue to optimize the product. There's a lot of opportunity for growth. We want to expand our range and capabilities. So the funding would also go into continued R&D expenses, which go hand in hand. But yeah, it's really about scaling our presence and being able to meet all of the sale requests that we're getting right now.
Fantastic. And to anyone who's now inspired by listening to your story or just interested to learn more about your case, they can sign up for the Swisspreneur Syndicate deal newsletter on our website and check your dossier, your pitch deck, your investment memo, etc., that you put together to have a closer look behind the scenes and decide if they would like to get involved as a potential investor in your company. So, Nicole, to wrap up the conversation today, I also have some rapid fire questions, three pieces for you today. I'm just going to start with the first one to get a bit more to know behind the founder, behind the co-founder, Nicole. What was your summer job as a teenager?
I have to say, I'm going to be super transparent. I did not work that much as a teenager. In terms of, I wasn't getting paid for my labor. I did a lot of babysitting and a lot of tutoring and also volunteering at different organizations in Venezuela and other places. But I wasn't getting paid for it. So I'm not sure if that counts as a job. Is that forced labor, maybe, in a sense?
Probably, yeah, probably. Today you would call it like that.
It was voluntary. Exactly. And I was very happy to do it.
What are you most proud of in your life?
I would say my personal development, like the how I evolved as a person, especially over the past, 10 years. I think it's something I'm especially proud of, how I managed to grow and learn from my mistakes and evolve as a human being and, kind of change my trajectory and my mindset and also how this personal development passed on to the people around me, kind of. So, I'd say that's something I'm very proud of.
I love that. And the last question for you today, what is a surprising fact that people don't know about you?
I have to say that this is a hard question because it's easier to ask other people.
Of course.
But I would say when people first meet me, they don't expect me to be as experimental as I am. And that's something that often surprises people, right? I mean, they soon figure out and they get to know me and then they start very much expecting that from me. But usually as a first impression, that is tends to be something that often surprises people, how I would say adventurous and experimental I can be.
Amazing. Nicole, thank you so much for your time today. We're really excited to launch your case on the Swisspreneur Syndicate and we wish you all the best, lots of success, and please keep up the great and amazing work that you and your team do. It's really impressive to follow your journey.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. So you're taking the time to interview us and to promote our initiative to the syndicate.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, you can support us by rating our show on Apple Podcasts. This way, we can reach an ever-growing number of aspiring entrepreneurs.